And so perhaps we could look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for your word and your working and your grace. So here we are. Help us understand and have the benefit of that understanding, that it pays off, God, in our moving forward and onward and upward. And we'll thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. And you might like to turn in your Bible to 1 John and chapter 3. And if I may, keeping in mind as we've been looking at 1 John and as we came to chapter 3, and that it's been building up from chapter 1, chapter 2, to what? To make sure that the believer is enjoying being saved. Make sure that the believer is enjoying God's wonderful saving grace. In the light of a world system that rejects such benefit, in the light of the old nature that we have, rebels against that such benefit, that we are come to know God in a very personal way. And so therefore, when we read chapter 3 and in verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. So, to understand to the benefit, and we have to go to God's word to understand it, to have the understanding, to have the experience. You can't have experience without the understanding. So, in the process, this kind of love that takes and saves us to the uttermost, to be a child of God, to be knowing the grace of God, God's wonderful giving, to know the Spirit of God, God's saving grace, God's saving wonderful person, saving us out, outworking a relationship, a unique relationship to God, that would mean to be a child of God, to enjoy God in a very direct, personal, wonderful way, for real. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and we know from John 14 and verse 6, the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So God has a wonderful plan for us to know God, as we shared last time, in God's awesome nature, essence, being, God being three and yet one, Father, Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Three in one. And yet all of it God has done such a way that you did what? How are we to understand your unique oneness, your nature? We're to understand you, God, and exercise that relationship to you as our Father, your Creator, you're the Savior, that's right. But God, we're to know and honor you as our Father. That's awesome. Now, to remind ourselves of that relationship, to remind ourselves of that benefit again, in the light of what we just did, think in mind, if you would, over to John, the Gospel of John, and in chapter 6. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 6, picking up, if I may, the Lord Jesus Christ brings us to the Father. His saving grace, going to Calvary's cross, dying, is to make it possible, because of his person and work, to get to God. How are we to get to God? To know him, to know him how, in what way, as our Father. So therefore, we are not surprised when we read John 6 and verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So a unique, wonderful relationship to God. And sliding down to verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. God, Spirit of God, John 16, you have to turn there, convicting men of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And the Spirit of God is convicting them of the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. The person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's behind that? God. You're going, you sent your Son to die on the cross, to open the door, to be the door, to be the Savior, to be able to what? To come through him to you, our Father. So Father, God the Father, is sending all of it that is being done in the gospel, the good news, is to get to God the Father. The Father is the author, is the centerpiece of the gospel, to come to God and know him in a family way as the Father. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and you'll note in verse 45, as it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. God the Father wants to save you. He created you. Verse 46, not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God. He has seen the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't come to know the God the Father apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. So, and the Lord Jesus Christ, you remember, you're right here. Turn the page again so you see it. Chapter 14. And the Lord Jesus standing in front of Philip, as it were, and all of them in the upper room, going, if I can, to verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? To see me is to see the Father. The Father sent the Son. For what? To by way of the Son to get to the Father. To what for? Why did you die on the cross? For God who created us to know him as our Savior, as our Father, to know God. We're made in the image and likeness of God to know him. That's what it's supposed to be. So, having said that, and thus over in chapter 14, verse 20 again, at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. So God is going to bring us to his wonderful person in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And the Spirit of God's ministry is going to be, from Romans 8 and Galatians 4, he's going to come into the heart when it saves us, and he's going to cry, Abba, Father. Abba is the Hebrew, Greek Hebrew, for Father, 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 Greek Hebrew, Father. He's going to what? He's going to cry, cry. Spirit of God's going to cry, Romans 8. The believing heart who gets the message is going to cry, to cry out aloud, to cry boldly, to say it so there's no question. See the word cry, the verb. Over, if I can, you're still in John, over to chapter 7. John in chapter 7, if I can, I'll ping up in verse 28. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, "You both know me, and you know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you know not." He didn't say that softly. He didn't say that with any question. He said it very confidently, very bold to say loud, loudly. He cried out. He said something without any question behind. It means bold, free, frank. Say, God said it. Look at it again in verse 37. And in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Same word, same everything. Bold, bold, frankly. He didn't say it so you couldn't hear it. He said it so you did hear it, and you didn't have a question what you're hearing. If you want to put it another way, Stephen, when he's being about to be stoned, they cried when Stephen said, I'm seeing, he's standing at the right, I'm going to see him, the Savior. And they said, "You can't say that." And so they got all cried out aloud and threw stones at him. And Philip, and then Stephen, I should say, Stephen then cried. He said, "Father." And then what did God do? Before the stones got at him, he told Stephen to take a nap. And all the stones came and killed them, but he was busy sleeping. That was before anesthesia was invented. You get the idea? God put him out. God put him out. Just as a side silly thing, I had one of my little children once had got some bad things in the splinters, doing bad splinters, and so she was laying on the couch in this house over here. And in the process, we had to go, and I knelt down by the bed and had to take him out. And it was one of the girls. It wasn't a boy. The boy would have been bold, maybe. No, it was a girl. And you know, before I got the tweezers to start needle, take him out, she fell asleep and stayed asleep all the time I took them out. That's what she did. Yep. God did that. Now, God's wonderful. Now, so therefore, God, in your wonderful saving grace, in what you do and the way you do it, so God, we're looking to you as you do and be to us all that you need to be so that we might have the benefit. So, 2 Corinthians. So God's going to be a father. That's what he expects to be. So therefore, he's supposed to be a son, a child of God. So the 2 Corinthians, and in chapter 8, 2 Corinthians is better, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, excuse me. 2 Corinthians in chapter 6, and picking up, if I may, 2 Corinthians 6, and you will note, if I can, and here we are looking, and God, what are you going to tell us? I want you to enjoy a unique, wonderful relationship to who I am. And in the process, sliding over, if I can, read chapter 6, note in chapter 6, and in verse 1, so then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, "I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now. So therefore, sliding along the light of the context, sliding over again to verse 15. What concord hath Christ with Belial, with idolatry? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel and unbeliever? Now, verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. God has made his heart your home, made his, your heart his home. And for God, and God hath said, I will dwell in them, and will walk in them, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. I'm going to be in them. I'm going to find my home in them. I'm going to find my life behavior in them. I'm going to be God, like we shared in Sunday school. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 17, wherefore, come out from among them, and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. In other words, remember to whom you belong, and act accordingly. Verse 18, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You're going to enjoy a unique, wonderful relationship to me. I am actually going to be a father. I'm God, God said. That's why we read a little bit ahead to remind ourselves. God expects you're in the family. God's going to treat you as in being in the family. How's he going to treat his family? As the father. He's the father. And that's how he's going to be, the father. He could be judge. He's the judge of all judges. He's God of all gods. But in your relationship in Christ, you want to know him and enjoy him as a father. You couldn't enjoy a king like that. You'd have to be careful with a king. You don't have to be careful with a father. The Father allows the children to come all the way, like we shared last time, all the way. No question. Like the little girl said, like we shared last time, the big girl said, I have all of the Father. And the little girl finally got there and said, he has all of me. Both are true. I have all of the Father, and he has all of me. For us, a relationship, a wonderful relationship. How is the Father? So we don't question. A judge, a king, yeah, but not a father. Not a father. No, not that way at all. So therefore, in God's wonderful saving grace, in God's way of doing, it's a family that enjoys fellowship, which is what 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, we have a fellowship with the Father and the Son. That's what you're reading. Therefore, be a child to enjoy the Father. How are you going to enjoy the Father by way of the Son? How are you going to do that if you don't recognize you're really a child of God? Not a make-believe child of God. Oh, I believe he loves me and everything. And you can say all that. He died for me. You can say all that. But that isn't the same thing as knowing you're a child of God, you see. Actually knowing you're a child of God. We aren't talking about it. I am. The believer is a real child. For real. For real, real, real. Say it 10 times. Real. A child of God. You think about it. We could stop and just think and try to absorb that. You're actually a child of God. The Lord Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem of Judea. He's the Son of God. Born in Bethlehem of Judea as a little baby. So what? So that we could be born again and know him as a Savior. and know him as a father, to know him as a real child. Now, hang on, you got it. In a real child, in a real way. So therefore, picking up, please, over in Romans and in chapter 8. In Romans in chapter 8, and you would recall, what is God going to do? He's going to go and do a wonderful thing. And in chapter 8, picking up, as you know, God has done a wonderful thing. You remember we read and made a note of it in chapter 8, verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby fully placed as legitimate children, adoption, whereby we cry, there's the word cry we looked at, with boldness, no messing around, we can say, yes, sir, yes, my father. That's legit. You'll drive everyone bananas around you, as it were. But it is true. And so you don't have to drive everyone bananas. No one else cares anyway. They don't understand what you're talking about. They just don't understand. So don't get them. Just let it go. Just know you're a child of God. For real. For real, real, real. Not make-believe, not a theory, not a wonderful hope. No, it's more than that. Wonderfully more than that. So now, in Romans 8, picking up, I'll read it because I don't want to lose it. Verse 16, for the Spirit himself, himself beareth witness with our spirit, that what? What are you going to, Spirit of God, what is he trying to tell me, Abba Father? All the time, present tense. What are you trying to tell me? The end of verse 16, all that we are the children of God. See? You have to, God says, don't ever lose it. Don't lose it. I want you to know it. You're in an old nature, so I know it's a struggle. It's a struggle, but I want you to know it. So therefore, and if children, verse 17, then heirs, that's wonderful to be heir in the will, in God's wonder, inheritor, to God. But you're not just an inheritor to get something, you are a joint heir with Christ. All that he gets, you get. You get the same. You're his body. Everything he gets, you get. All that he is, you is. You enjoy what? God's awesome person. As a child of God. Yeah. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, over to verse 17. Verse 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that are called, to them that love God, loving God. And God so loved us, and we love being saved, so we love God. We love being saved. God loves me and saves us. And we love being saved. We love being children. That's what we want to be. So, therefore, verse 28, we know that all things work together for God, for good, to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, what on earth is your purpose? Verse 4, verse 29, for, because whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That God, what are you going to do? You want us to be conformed like your Son. And that's what 1 John chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 3. Don't you know that you are a child and that you're going to be like him? You're going to be like him. And we shared that all that last time to remember what? You're going to be like him. You can't have a head that doesn't match the body. And you can't have a body that doesn't match the head. We're the body of Christ. We have to match his body. We have to be like him. You have to be. You can't, no one else is going to be like that, but you is, if you're saved. You're going to be like that. You have to match him. So that where he is, you see him. Wonderful, God. So what are you doing? We're going to be conformed to the image of your Son in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And God, you're going to do that. And therefore, over if we can, to pick up Ephesians, God's going to do that in his awesome, wonderful way. So, having said that and keeping that in mind, Ephesians, and God's, having said that, picking it up, and you know, God, what do you want us to be then? You want us to be, since we're going to be, represent you, Ephesians chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted, highly favored, and the beloved, in the beloved. And you're going to find that same word in 1 John chapter 2, chapter 3, excuse me, when we get back over there. So, beloved, especially of God. Therefore, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of the glory of who first trusted in Christ. We're going to go and look to God. And God, we're going to be to the praise of his glory. And why we're body, we're children. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. God has a wonderful purpose, a wonderful plan, a wonderful relationship, and it has to be worked out. And it has to be worked out in a most, most wonderful, wonderful way. And God, the Holy Spirit, is going to go and do all of it. And therefore, why are we going to be optimistic? We're full of optimism. Why? Well, no, because God's going to do it. God has done it. He's going to finish it. Therefore, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, behold, now are you the sons of God, children of God, now. It's very important now. Not yet. You're going to be like him. But the point is, you want to enjoy it now. Not yet, but now. I want to enjoy what I'm to be, what I am now. I don't want to enjoy it next week. I want to start enjoying it now. I have all the things around me that illustrate my earthly existence in every way, shape, and form. And I want to know, in the midst of all the things that happen to me on a daily basis, that I see, think, know, understand, and do, I am a child of God. I am now a child of God, in spite of everything. I am now a child. So therefore, I'm going to cry, Abba, Father. So, over if I can, please, in the light of that, in John. So, God, over if I can, in Ephesians chapter 3. Well, I'm going to hold chapter 3 and go with me over to, I did that. Picking up if I can, chapter 3, I guess. Chapter 3. And you will note in chapter 3, God, what are we going to do? God, you're going to go. And chapter 3, picking up, please, in verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and that you may know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So God, what do you want? You want us to enjoy your wonderful fullness. We're to enjoy you as our Father, as family, as children. We're to enjoy a unique fellowship and oneness with you. We're to enjoy a unique fruitfulness. Think of Sunday school. Fruitfulness. We're to enjoy a unique relationship to you that allows you to be who you are and for us to know it. To be able to know God, that's you. To be able to know our God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So, and therefore, beloved, back over again, in the light of that, before I leave that, you want to add that little bit in verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, to him be glory in the church. So God, in by Christ Jesus. God, what are you going to do? You want this relationship to be understood, and you want it to be understood and experienced. And the experience is beyond all that we can ask or think. Because it's an experience with you, to know you. And that's God. We aren't talking about some pie in the sky. We're supposed to know you in a unique way as a child of God. So, Father, thank you. That's what you want us to be able to do with boldness. And the Spirit of God doesn't quit. Understand, God, what is it? It is God's grace. God in Christ going to the cross to make it possible for a human heart to enjoy God forever as Father, to be truly, truly family, family, family. And saying that over to Luke in chapter 2. And in Luke in chapter 2, and you will note our Lord. His family is only 12 years old. Remember, he's going to the synagogue and their temple is quizzing him as they would. And as they would, verse 40, chapter 2 of Luke, verse 49. His family's out there. And he said unto them, to his family that were inquiring and the people that heard it in the room. Verse 49, he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wist, that's the word know, know you not that I must be about my Father's business? I must be about my Father's business. I'm a child of God. I'm the Son of God. Now, God, what did you do for us? You saved us in a most wonderful way and gave us to be children, to be our Father. Now, Father, what business are you in? God's in the business of being God over Israel, countries, angels, heaven and hell. My Father, God, your business. We're to enjoy being children of God. And our Father's business is our business. The Father's battles are my and our battles. The Father's burdens are our burdens. We represent our Father. We're for our Father. We represent him in a most wonderful way. And we're to enjoy him as our Father in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And so, God, so there are no delays, there are no maybes, there's nothing to hope in the sense that we are, to hope that we will one day be children of God. No, we are children of God straight way, straight out, and we're locked into God's saving grace in a wonderful saving way. And therefore, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. Slide over to 1 John. And in 1 John, picking up, if I can, in chapter 3, God's going to go and do what he does, and God's going to go. And we're going to, so therefore, in chapter 3, in verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, children of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, but we shall see him as he is. Now, why do we know that? Because God has told us that. You're going to be, you're his body, you're to represent him in a wonderful way. And we just read, everything works together for good, the outworking of which, all of which centers, comes together in the wonderful plan of God that you and I and us believers, every believer that knows the Lord as a Savior, would be like him, conformed to his image. That's what he wants. That's what he's looking for. He's out to take a people for his name. That's what he's doing. Why is he doing it? Because the world doesn't believe. The Jews don't believe. No one cares. No one's believing. It's going to get worse and worse till the grace of God is taken away and the wrath of God is to be found in tribulation. It's going to get worse. So what are you going to do, God? I'm going to show my grace in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Therefore, they don't believe it, but it's going to be. It's going to be. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Why are you driving home the Spirit of God? Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. What are you driving home? Please understand what happened when you received Christ as your Savior. God did a wonderful thing in saving you to be his. No, you didn't have any, no big deal about it in the sense of feeling big things. No. You could have had repentance. You could have been needful in all kinds of ways when you got saved. But when you receive Christ as your Savior, regardless of your condition, you receive Christ as your Savior, he saved you. And that's an awesome, awesome thing that God has done. So therefore, we know without beyond any reason, when he shall appear, we shall be like him. And in the time, if I can, verse 3, I and be like him. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself as he is pure. You're going to be able to understand God's wonderful person. And the more you understand, that's why we're trying to keep saying it over and over again to us to understand it, what happened when you received Christ as your Savior. Why did Christ die on the cross? So that you could become and know him and now in this age of grace in a most personal way. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to make all of that real. It's not your job. It's his. It's his job. That's the Spirit of God's ministry. And the Spirit of God is going to do what? Because of the grace of God. The Lord, John 1, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, go over there again. Go over there. The Gospel of John in chapter 1. And you keep in mind, underline it in your mind. Chapter 1, verse 14. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory of the only begotten of the Father, in the Son. And what is it? Full of grace and truth. So when you receive Christ as your Savior, you received Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. You receive God's wonderful giving of himself by going to the cross, the grace of God. So that God is going to do all. He created us, and God is able to go and save us in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And therefore, the grace of God is going to go, and grace is everything God does, and you do nothing. In other words, you, us humans, contribute zero. And the whole thing about God, heaven, and time, eternity, life and death. We can't change the state of death. We can't touch it. We just live in it. God, we do nothing. That's right. It's always grace. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, you honor him. And you do it because of the grace of God. That's why you do it. You don't do it to get grace. You do it because of grace. There's a difference. It's because of God's grace that we're saved. It's because of God's grace that we read his word. It's why we live like we should. Because of God's grace. Because, underline, not something we do. So get that out of your system done. Grace of God means that God saves us in a wonderful way. God does everything for us to make everything possible. All of it is always grace. So the grace makes everything possible and practical. Now, how can I enjoy the practical, profitable pleasingness of God's word that pleases him? Because the Spirit of God's ministry is to make it all work. So God, your grace makes it so I can be and talk and think as a child of God. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to make all of it real. And I'll work it in a most wonderful way. So that's what we're to do. We're to grow in grace. In chapter 1, always verse 16, for in his fullness, fullness, have all we received, the same as in verse 12, grace for grace. And God gives grace and grace. And it's not old grace. It's God is grace. And he's going to be God today at this afternoon, tonight, tomorrow, next month. God is being gracious in Christ in your heart. And he gives grace upon grace, not old grace. It's new. New every day is his wonderful person as you exercise his person every day in your life. God is allowing you to enjoy because God makes it possible for you to pray, to trust. God makes it possible for you to do it. And therefore do it. Now you're the children of God. Now be children. For you are not, it is not yet what you shall be. But you surely are going to be it. And he that hath this hope, this anticipation, this expectation in them is going to what? He's going to have it clean, pure. We're back to Sunday school. Walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood just keeps cleansing. We just keep enjoying being the simplicity and the wonderment of being saved. That's all we do. We just enjoy it. It's not a big thing. You know, you got to have some big theologian. Well, that's nice to have a big theologian. But no, you just need to be a little sheep, little old sheep, a little old believer. That's all you have to do. So therefore, God, as we do that and think of that, go over with me, please, to 1 Thessalonians, as you would know and understand. And God, you're going to go and help us to understand what? we're going to go and look to you, and we're going to be changed. That's right. And so we're looking. And you know, if you read 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to be changed. So we go in this body, God's going to put the body aside. The shell you live in, the house you live in, God's going to put it aside in a moment and change it in the twinkling of an eye. Going to change it. He's going to change it from this to what it's supposed to be to match his. So, and in 1 Thessalonians again, in the process, you remember God is going to go. And let me just get there. And 1 Thessalonians, and you remember, picking up if I can, in verse 13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, family, concerning them that which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others, which have no hope. People pass on, and they go, and we're still here. We're still here. And we're still here. People die. Believers die. And we're looking for the Lord's return. We're looking for it. It just hasn't happened yet. The things are happening in the world to keep things going in a good way. So therefore, in have no hope. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep have died in Jesus will God bring them with him. And for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, hinder them which are asleep. In other words, that God, when you're going to do what you're going to do, everyone's going to be there at the right time in the right way. And you're going to go, verse 16, and the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a cloud, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So they're all going to be there. At the same time, God takes us up in a fraction of a second, a nanosecond. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet him in the air, in the clouds, in the air. We aren't going to go. We're going to go we don't have to go all the way. We're just going to go a little way. Little way. Just up there. Just up in the clouds. Boom. You're going to do that. The world's never going to see it. I don't think so. They're going to see the next event. They won't see this one. You're going to do that. So, shall we be caught up in the together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air? And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And that's what we're doing. So, God, what are you telling us? Please, please understand. Don't talk about being a child of God and don't say, well, it's a wonderful thing to be a child. Be one. Be a child of God. Now, for it is yet to be, you're going to be changed, but not yet. So now, be a child of God, for real. Now, God, all I can do is say thank you. God, thank you for your presence and your grace and the Spirit of God's ministry that makes all of that, which I can talk about, I could think about, but the Spirit of God makes it all real. I don't make it real. God makes it real. That's the difference. Why do they make it real? Because of his grace, not because of your works, or we deserve or merit anything. God does what he does because he's God. And we're the recipients, we're the vessels made fit to be a temple, made fit for God to find his home in Christ, in your heart, That's why you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. You're brand new. Now, who said that? God did. I look old, but you're brand new before me. And it's all real. All because of you, God. It isn't real because of us humans. It isn't real about anything or anyone that makes it real. And believing, if I just believe harder, no. You can believe hard and get tired. Believing doesn't make it real. Believing doesn't make anything real. Believing either enjoys something that is really something. You enjoy the bus. You hit the, using a bus, train. You have the train ticket at the right time, at the right in the right station, and you have the train ticket for the right place, and you can get on the train and you get there. And because everything you did was right, you were on time. God, you did what you do. You did what made everything possible. And so all we did is get on the train. All we did, God, is go. You said for you that you would take us and therefore to bring us to you. And how are we going to find ourselves at the white throne, at the right hand of you when we get saved? And when you come, we're going to be like you. That's what we're going to be. And God, we didn't do it. I didn't do it. God, you did it in your grace. Because of your grace, nothing about me, nothing about us. And Spirit of God is delighted to implement that grace. And thus we are children of God. And who says so? The Spirit of God cries in your heart, Abba, Father. That's what he wants you to know. So there must be something else. No. It's so awesome, wonderfully simple. Simple, simple, simple. And all he asks is that you would allow him to be who he is and save you in his most awesome way to be like him. That's what he wants. He wants to be Father, your Father. So I'm a father. I'm no father. I only point to the Father. I loved my father. I didn't love him like I should have. I didn't treat him like I could have and should have. I'm sure. I know I didn't. But, it isn't my father. It was never my father. It was God. The Father. Honor thy father. Chapter Exodus 20:12. Honor thy father and thy mother. And if you understand us humans, father and mother, you'll get to God the Father. He created us. And we're born from a mother and by a mother and father. We're born to be a human, not to be owned by anybody. God, to multiply children, to multiply us humans, that we could all know him as our Lord and Savior in a wonderful way. Again, knowing that to us, it's God's saving grace, plus nothing, always. And all we did, God's doing what he's doing because of his grace and the Spirit of God's ministry because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is obligated to implement that wonderful truth, that wonderful relationship to make it real forever. God, thank you. Thank you very much. Our Father and God, we look to you with thanksgiving and deal with our heads and hearts as we sort of bounce around in it. God, that we might have the benefit of just the awesome simplicity of understanding the whole ball of wax here, so that we don't get so tied up in this or that and we lose out on everything in the process. So help us in every way. May you find you may find yourself comfortable as you find your home in our heart, as you find your home in this body of believers, a temple representing your wonderful person. So God, may you find yourself wonderfully pleased and so that you can bless us with showers of blessing. God, showers of blessing we need. In Christ's name, the Lord, in Christ's name, thank you very much. Amen.